It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always during the BB18 season, I'm with you on a Monday afternoon to talk about what's going down on the Big Brother live feeds with the live feed correspondents. First is a man who has been on RHAP so much recently that I'm starting to think he's secretly plotting to take it over or take it down for the inside. I'm not sure what it is. But regardless, he's here with us again tonight. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you?
You know, I'm pretty good, but I did just promise 10K to every one of my followers that tuned in to watch us live. So I'm a little bit terrified.
You know who else made a similar promise? Spencer Bledsoe. Ask him how that goes when you promise people things on Twitter, Taryn. So,
well, you know, that's just the kind of benefit you get when you follow Armstrong Taryn on Twitter.
There you go. You get free money.
Yeah.
Second on the panel today is a man who also is good at doing intros. So he was practicing them and showing me before the show started. And he's growing a beard. It's Brent Wolgamott, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Lies and deception. I'm not growing a beard. I'm just being lazy and I haven't shaved. That's what's really going on. And hello, everybody. It's nice to see you all. I'm glad to be here on a Monday.
Brent, let's see the beard. Show the audience
Okay,
your
I gotta
beard.
Keep talking, but yeah, I can grow a beard if I want to, but you can see, like, right here, if you look really closely, there's a little bit of gray coming in, like, right here. So, it comes in gray. Oh, well, I'm 41. Who cares?
Wow. Amazing. I mean, I think that's probably the biggest revelation of the podcast is that you're 41, and I know a lot of people were really surprised when I said last week I was turning 23. So, there we go. It's lots of surprises on the Happy Hour.
You're an old soul, JP.
Yes. All right. Well, if you guys want to see, if you're listening to this in the audio archives and you want to see Brent's beard, you can now. We finally have gotten a link to the YouTube channel. If you go to robiswebsite.com/YT, that'll take you directly to the Reality TV Rehapups YouTube channel. You can subscribe there and you can see Brent's beard. So lots of good stuff going on there. Unfortunately, you know, last week we talked about Alex Kidwell almost getting struck by lightning in Silver Spring, Maryland, with the storms going on. Unfortunately, we said, oh, you know, his power is going to go. It never did. But this week, technically, he's got some issues going on, so we were not able to get him on this hangout. So, unfortunately, there's no Alex today. So we're playing a man short, but we're going to do our best. But I'll be honest, guys, I'm torn up. I mean, I don't want to do this without Alex. So please don't, whatever you do, don't ever leave me. It's not going to be the same if you guys ever go. Okay. So promise me you'll always be here as long as I'm here. Okay. You good?
We're with you, JP. Always with you.
Okay. Okay. Taryn, that goes for you too, man. Don't backstab me.
I would never.
Yeah, he's like over there plotting. Like, he didn't say anything. Did you notice that? Like,
yeah.
I was like, I'm with you, JP. And he's like, mm-hmm.
It's okay, Brent. We'll go to the end together. We
All right,
don't need to
yeah.
worry about Taryn.
Me and you, final
okay?
two.
I was thinking of mean jokes I could say about Alex, and then you hit me with that, and it was just a totally different headspace.
No. We love Alex here. Don't insult Alex Kidwell, okay? You can insult me.
Like,
say that
10,
for me.
Did I spend 10K trying to, like, hire a mechanic to, like, screw up his internet? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not confirming or denying.
Well, you are a robot, Taryn, so I know you're capable of many things. So
it says so on my Twitter profile.
Yes. All right, let's set things up for you guys watching us live. So if you have not listened to the Happy Hour before, I'm sure you've noticed, normally we have Alex Kidwell here, but he's not here this week. But we normally, and each and every week, we talk about what's going down on the live feeds in the BB18 house. So if you do not want to know spoilers, you do not want to know who won the veto, you do not want to know who's going home, any of that stuff, tune out now, come back at the end of the week and catch up on what's actually been going down in the house on the live feeds. But otherwise, stick around. We've got some interesting stuff to talk about, and can't wait to get into it with you guys. First, before we get into it as well, one other thing. Let's get your questions in as well for tonight's episode. We are still got room for questions, so if you want to get those in, you can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag Rehappy Hour, and that's one way you can get those in, or you can leave a comment on the YouTube video. That's probably the most effective way to get your questions in. Let's jump right into it, guys. There was the veto ceremony today. Taryn, you were on RHAP last night, as you have been basically every All night, week. It seems like, for the past week. It's been the week of Taryn on Rob as a podcast. So you talked about how Paul had won the veto. He was going to, the plan was for him to use it, and it looked like Nicole was going to be going up on the block at the veto ceremony. Is that what happened?
It was Corey that was going to go up. And,
oh, sorry, Corey, my mistake.
Yeah, and Corey did go up. You know, Michelle really wanted to put Nicole up, but, you know, everybody, for the most part, was pushing Corey instead. So, yeah, Corey is the one that went up.
So Corey is the one that is on the block. Brent, it was, I know Paul was trying to push for Nicole, one of them, to go home this week. But it seemed like James and company were leaning towards, or well, really James is who, you know, his fate is in, Victor's fate is, at least. It seems like he was leaning towards going against Victor and Paul. Is that still the plan as of right now?
Yeah, that's still the plan, and I think you had it right the first time. Actually, his fate is in James and Natalie's hands, because Natalie's going to tell James what to do. I mean, if Natalie wants Victor to stay, he's going to stay. Make no bones about it. That's what's going to happen. I mean, she said earlier on the feeds today that she can't manipulate James, that she can only lay things out to him and then allow him to make a decision. That's bullshit. She can totally manipulate James. He'll do whatever she wants to do. If she decides on Thursday morning, has a wild hair up her ass and says, you know what, I want Victor to stay, I guarantee you he's going to stay, and James will vote for Victor to stay. So that's everything is being decided by Natalie this week, including Michelle's HOH, which, by the way, we need to talk about, because she totally abdicated responsibility for. She shouldn't even be HOH at this point.
Okay, Brent, then let's jump right into it then. What do you want to say about Michelle's HOH? You are not a fan.
No,
of her.
I'm not a fan, because the people who voted for Michelle to be co-HOH are idiots. We told you all to vote for Victor. Victor was the one person you knew could get the care package and not have it taken away from him if he accidentally became HOH, because he was the outgoing HOH, right? Are you with me now? See, he was the outgoing HOH, so he couldn't be the HOH this week, all right? I told everyone to vote for Victor. If you're complaining about the way things are going right now, you have yourself to blame if you didn't vote for Victor to get the care package, because giving it to Meech was totally effing predictable. She got it, and then she quickly abdicated responsibility and was like, well, you know, whatever you want to do, Natalie, it's your HOH. I mean, I'm just the co-HOH. It's like the pilot. Like, you know, you can drive into the mountain if you want with the plane, but I'm just sitting over here, and I'm the co-pilot. I'm not going to do anything to upset your plans. I mean, it was so infuriating to see how quickly somebody who should want Victor and Paul to be in the house, from, in my opinion, just quickly gave way to Natalie and her emotions about why Paul should be on the block and why Paul should be going home this week. Michelle was a total, there's a word I'm trying to think of right now, like a spineless, jelly-livered chicken. She was just, I don't know.
Brent, feckless, is that the word?
Maybe, I don't know. She was terrible. She had no game in her whatsoever. It was Natalie's HOH. Let's be clear. It was Natalie's HOH, and that's what happened.
All right, Taryn, what do you think about this? Because Brent's right. I mean, really, Michelle just did whatever Natalie wanted her to do. But is this not a good move for Big Meech? Because she doesn't really have any blood on her hands for what she did, right?
Yeah, something that I really liked about what Brent said was, like, you know, she is the COHOH, which made me think of, you know, she's like the assistant to the regional manager instead of the assistant regional manager. but yeah, I mean, you're right in the sense that, like I said last night, that I do agree essentially with what she did, but I don't agree with the thought process behind it. I don't think that she did it to be, to to, you know, like, oh, this is a good move to put the heat on Natalie instead of myself. I shouldn't have wanted this HOH to begin with. I need to play the middle. None of those things were going through her mind. It was just like, this is what Natalie's telling me, and I just go along with whatever somebody tells me. So, you know, she went against Paul and Victor in the beginning, and then Paul flipped her back fully, and then she's gone and flipped back again to, like, okay, well, now I'm fine with evicting Victor again. She'll do whatever she, like, not only will she just do whatever somebody else tells her, like, which might be a good move in some instances, but she fully believes what other people tell her. She's just, like, fully jumps on board, like, mind and soul.
Oh, man. So Brent, I mean, last week there was some discussion that Michelle could win the game again after Alex had completely written her off. And we saw in the jury segment, it seemed like Davon and Zakiya and Bridget were pro Michelle. But what's the perception in the house right now? Is everybody perceiving this as basically Michelle is, you know, being controlled by Natalie and she doesn't really deserve much respect? Like, how are the other house guests looking at her right now at this HOH?
No, Paul and Victor believe that although the plan at the beginning of the week may have been to evict one or the other between the two of them, he now believes that the two showmances have a foursome together and that Michelle is unknowingly on the outs. That's what he was saying earlier today. So, I mean, Paul and Victor, or Paul especially, is of the opinion that Michelle doesn't really know what's going on, and he's right. She really doesn't know what's going on. I mean, she's been let in on the fact that, well, maybe we ought to let Victor go home this week. He's a really good comp beast. I mean, we ought to think about that. You know, in modern Big Brother, comps apparently count so much at the end. But she's not in fully on the plan in that it was, you know, set in stone from the get-go that this is what's going to happen. And I think that Michelle thought that if Paul came off the block, that Corey was going to go home. When Michelle got co-HOH, she was saying, like, you know, I'm going to put Corey and Nicole on the block. I'm going to say, hi, see you later. Wouldn't want to be ya. And, you know, 5 minutes later, she was like, well, Paul's the devil. We need to get him out. It's absolutely infuriating. And by the way, Natalie's no better. I mean, we can talk about Natalie, but everything has been determined by her fake tits. Like, let's be real. Everything has been determined this week by her emotions about Paul saying something about FT, okay? It is absolutely infuriating to me that her decisions are being based even partly around the fact that Paul may or may not have added in on the joking about her fake breasts, okay? She was saying earlier today, I think that Paul really tries to talk to me about non-game related things to get into my emotions. And I'm like, bitch, you are the queen of non-game related emotions. That's all you ever talk about. Look, I think there is a valid argument that getting Paul out is best for Natalie's game, okay? But that is entirely separate from the fact of how she's handling this week and her emotions being HOH. If anybody has gotten HOH-itis, it's Natalie. Natalie's walked around with her head up high, with her nose sticking up, and like I can't even believe this is the same girl that I've loved for the first 8 weeks of the game.
It doesn't it make sense though for what Natalie's doing without knowledge of the buyback going on? I mean, they can't foresee that. But doesn't it kind of make sense for Natalie though? She's getting rid of Victor, who she was in a showmance with sort of for a week before the feeds came on. He's a huge comp beast and he's just destroying everyone in the competitions. Taryn, what do you think about this? I get where Natalie's coming from with this move.
Yeah, I do think it's the right move, again, without knowledge of the buyback. You know, there is something to what Brent is saying in the sense that, you know, a large part of her initial flip was due to this, you know, feeling of betrayal, of hurt from Paul, like finding out that he, you know, was the originator of the FT nickname. It took James kind of being the person to say, let's take emotions out of it and look at this objectively. It makes more sense for our game to take Paul or Victor out and to work with Nicole and Corey. And that's sort of why she's moving forward with Nicole and Corey at this point.
Does Paul have any idea, Brent, that it looks like that Victor is going to be going home? Because it seemed like Paul had some hope that things had flipped back into his favor. And it seemed like Meech knew that Corey was not actually going to be the one going home. It seemed like, you know, maybe there was some hope there. So based on what you've seen, does Paul seem to know? Is he catching on that Victor might in fact be the one going home this week?
Yes, he knows what's going on. I mean, he doesn't know it specifically, but he smells it in the wind. You know, when he comes into the room, people stop talking. When Victor comes into the room, people stop talking. There have been little conversations made about, well, Victor is a comp beast, you know. Victor has let everyone know, to his credit, that if you lie to him this week and tell him he's not going home, and then you vote him out, that he will not give you his jury vote. So what James and Natalie have decided to do is wait until Thursday morning. That's what they said earlier today. They're going to wait till Thursday morning to tell Victor. If I was Victor, I'd tell him to shove it up their ass. Like, literally, to wait till Thursday morning to tell me that I'm going home? Why didn't you tell me on Monday? Why didn't you tell me on Tuesday? And I could have enjoyed my last week in here. By the way, I reject your supposition that they should know that there's a buyback going. They knew there was a round-trip ticket. They knew there was a possibility of someone coming back into the house. Now that that didn't happen, the people who are fans of the game in the house currently, they know that there's going to be a buyback. Victor is a fan of the game. He's only, like, well, I think he's watched the last Tuesday, or he applied last season and he applied again this season. He, like, it's amazing to me. He's like Kreskin, or the guy from The Tonight Show who could always read the envelopes. I forget his name. Somebody will tell me what it is. But it doesn't matter. He literally can predict everything that's going to happen because he's a fan of the show. He understands that because there was a round-trip ticket and it didn't happen, that they're going to want to have another double eviction, and that they're going to need another person to do that. By the way, I just really quickly want to read this to you. Okay, because remember, people were bagging on Victor early on because they said, oh, he's not a fan, he doesn't know what to do in the game and how Big Brother works. And they were making fun of him as far as his backdoor goes and how he didn't know it was coming. And then you have James, somebody who's played the game before, and Natalie, who says she's a fan of the show. Okay, Natalie told James that people are talking about the possibility of a juror returning. James said it won't be happening. He told Natalie that it's being used as a scare tactic. Okay, it gets better. Natalie asked, what if someone does return? James says it won't happen. Natalie brought up Victor saying that he's going to come back. James says he won't be. Natalie told James that it is a shot that they have to take. James explained to her, this is the best part. James explained to her that they would not have five people compete to return. Natalie asked how he knows this. James said they did four last year. This is the kind of idiocy we have in the Big Brother house. James thinks that there's no way they could do a jury buyback because, well, they did four last year, so obviously they can't do five this year. That would make no sense. I literally want to just, like, take my head and shove it on my desk right now and kill myself. I can't stand these people and their stupidity.
All right. Well,
Taryn, jump in here.
I went off on tangents there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think I can respond to everything, but I wasn't saying that they should or that they shouldn't know that the buyback. I do think that they should have a good idea because Paulie was spouting off about there's definitely going to be a buyback. They should do the math. There's obviously going to be two double evictions. They should know that this is definitely a possibility. You know, maybe there's a reset. Maybe something like that could throw a wrench in things. But it is also very, very difficult to plan around something like that. Like we call people like Luan idiots, and maybe Luan isn't the best example, but even people like Howie, who like based a decision on this idea that he was guessing at what was going to happen due to a twist, and you know, because of that made a really terrible move. I think that you have to make the move that you think is right in the moment and then hope that the twist doesn't screw you over, unless it's such a vast difference in outcomes that you just have to take the risk the other way. That said, they are not doing it correctly because, again, like they're thinking this is impossible. They should be considering that this is an option and then trying to weigh out the pros and cons of whichever way they decide to go. And they're just not doing that. Like, I mean, I feel like this is my answer to every single question is like they may or may not be doing the right thing, but their thought process is not, you know, in line with what they should be thinking.
Moral of the story, guys, always be throwing. Then you don't have to make these decisions. Well, you
right?
can make
Didn't
decisions.
This all start from that? It all started, all of our problems, if you're a fan of people who are like, if you're a fan of the five, you know, Natalie and James and Michelle and Paul and Victor, if you're a fan of those five, everything, all that problem started when the sitting ducks who were like, they said they could go to one side or the other, up and decided to win head of household. Fast forward to this week. Natalie, not in danger, up and decides to win head of household out of nowhere. Like, it's so amazing to me how this season could be different if people made optimum strategic moves. On the other hand, I understand where they're coming from because I'm a volatile person myself, and I don't always make optimum strategic moves, even when I'm looking at what's going on, and I have full knowledge of what's going on in the house, so I can only imagine from their standpoint, them trying to plan around it. And I can't ever really bag on someone for trying to win HOH when it's your, it's one of your main lifelines in the house. So
I can.
Whatever. Yeah, I know you can.
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, I don't know. I took it a little bit to the extreme when I played, but at the same time, like, I get where you're coming from. And I get why people want to win, but right. At the same time, like, if you're Paul and you're Victor and you look around and you got two sides that are clearly hating on each other and against each other, and nobody's even thinking of you, why would you win? That's how I would.
It was just them and James left in that competition when Victor won that head of household.
Give it to James.
I know.
So easy.
Really quickly, I just wanted to say, because we don't talk about him a lot, but you know, this to me shows again how good of a game player Steve from last season was. Steve Moses always knew his position in the house. He knew when to throw HOH. He knew when to go for it. He knew where he was in relation to other people, and more importantly, where they perceived he was in relation to other people. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. It's really hard to play Big Brother and have faith in your ability to know, okay, where am I positioned in the house? Steve was totally fine sitting up on the block with people if he needed to. I mean, he didn't love it, but he would do it because he knew that he was safe, like when he was against James or when he was against Johnny Mac, because he knew where he was in the alliance pecking order. A lot of these people in the house, they don't have that ability to perceive where they are in the house in relation to other people in the house, and that is a flaw in their game.
When you said we haven't talked about this guy much, and you said he's a great player, I was like, wait, Corey is a great player? What, no. Brett?
He's a better player than Nicole. Or like right before we came on the feeds, Corey said, so Nicole, what's your strategy as far as winning this game? Like, are we just going to shack up with some hot guy and sit in a bed and cuddle him to death? Like, I'm like, that's... Boy, that's calling her game to a T. I think that's pretty much what's going on.
Oh, man. Okay, let's take a look then at let's look at what we think is going to go down next week then, or at least maybe going into next week before we have this jury buyback. In terms of loyalties, Taryn, where's everybody lying at? I mean, it looks like Paul's on the outs, clearly. Victor's going to go home. So is it basically just everybody against Paul going into this juror buyback?
Basically. And James and Natalie are set up really well because they have this four with Nicole and Corey, and they have Michelle on board who wants to take out Paul first and also hates Nicole. And Nicole and Corey are also like against Michelle. So Natalie and James are sitting really pretty in the middle of that. They're sitting, you know, with people that aren't going to do well, particularly in comps. The only thing that could potentially just demolish their entire game is this buyback.
Yes.
Which they could see somebody like Victor or Pauly return, and it could be devastating to their game. It could ruin their entire position. It
could ruin them.
so let's talk about the buyback then. I mean, right now, yes, looks like everybody's against Paul. But Brent, don't we think that Paul's going to be okay? Because whomever comes back into the house, they're automatically going to be they're not going to be gunning for Paul. They're going to be gunning for, I don't know, Nicole, Corey, probably Natalie and James, really, if we look at it. I mean, who's Davon going to go after? Let's just roll through it quickly. Davon, who do we think Davon's gunning for right now? Brent, Nicole?
Yeah.
I think she'd probably go after Nicole, but she might try to see where the land lies. Like, we're talking about Davon. She'll go after
Nicole.
Talking
about Davon winning an HOH competition. Honey, please.
Hey, you never know. It's possible.
Know, right?
It's possible. Okay, so Davon comes, Nicole's in heat. If we have Zaki...
He's just describing things.
Oh, that's funny. You guys
Bridget,
don't admit.
Bridget is the person. If she came back, she would probably work with Natalie and James and only strengthen their position.
I'm interested. This is what I'm interested. I'm interested if Polly comes back, because if Polly comes back, then like Nicole and Corey are going to move over to Polly. And James and Natalie are going to feel really really stupid. And they're going to, I mean, they're really going to feel stupid. And like, they're going to realize they're on the outs again. I mean, they may be willing to work with him, but you can't tell me if Polly comes back in and becomes head of household, or if one of those three become head of household, Polly's going to strong arm them into targeting James and Natalie. I guarantee it. So I love it. I mean, it's delicious to me. Like if that maybe it maybe could save Paul if Polly comes back into the game, because he would be a bigger target and he would force Corey and Nicole to go to places in the game that they ordinarily wouldn't go to. If Victor comes back into the game, obviously we're going to have to take another look at how things looked coming into this week. But at least Victor and Paul are aware of the fact that James and Natalie are not with them at this point. If Victor or Paul became head of household next week, I think they would go after James and Natalie. By the way, one thing we really need to talk about too is the care package. The house.
Well, hold on, before the care package, let's wrap. Let's put a bow on that.
Sorry.
We completely amazingly we somehow forgot to bring up Zakiya in that conversation.
Oh really? She's not gonna try.
If Zakiya comes back, Taryn, what do we think she's gonna? Is she gonna go to she gonna go back to Corey and Nicole? Like, what's going on with that?
I would imagine,
or Michelle, I guess.
I would imagine she would go to. It's actually interesting because she was friends with Michelle, but obviously Corey and Nicole are people that, you know, it depends on her feelings in the jury, right? Like if Polly comes back and is able to do what he did to her in the house and get her back on board, he'd probably send her in there to work with Nicole and Corey. But if she's finally with Devon and Devon is keeping Polly out of her ear, then maybe she goes back and works with Michelle and tries to like work as a sort of like middle group with her. I don't know how effective it would be, but you know, it might go that way.
Okay. So Thursday night, we're going to know who comes right back in. I guess Taryn, you brought this up. I'm with you. You said last night on RHAP, maybe it was with Matt Hoffman on Friday.
Great show, by the way. Great show Friday night.
Very good show.
If you haven't listened to the feed or the show from Friday night with Matt Hoffman and Taryn Armstrong and Rob Cesternino, you're missing something. Like it was absolutely comedy gold. Like I loved every minute of it. Watch it.
You don't need to have watched the Friday episode.
I didn't watch the Friday episode. I didn't until I came back home. Like I listened to the podcast before I watched the episode, and it was fabulous. Like I loved every minute of it.
Yeah, the booths that Matt Hoffman was talking about were very funny.
Yes. Just throw a comforter over it.
Yes. So somebody's coming back on Thursday. Taryn, you think it's going to be a la BB16, where Jocasta almost got back with the shuffleboard style of competition. Brent, do you think it's going to be something random like that, or do you think it'll require skill?
I think it'll require a little bit of skill. Like Keith is the new comp person, and I can't imagine he would ever be proud of putting out something like that shuffleboard thing that they had. And by the way, not only was it a bad competition from a, you know, competitor standpoint, but it was a bad competition from a visual standpoint, from a TV standpoint, which is even worse. Like I couldn't even tell what was going on, about who had how many discs and, you know, who was closer than what. Like it wasn't even good from a viewing standpoint. So you're going to want to have something that comes across well on television, as well as something that gives a little bit of an edge to people like that really want to come back in. I guess Bridget really does want to come back in. So, I mean, basically everybody but Zakiya.
Yeah, I think the only thing we know for relative certainty is that it will be a competition that will end before the episode ends. It will not be the wall, I imagine, because they even kind of confirmed it. The voting for America's Care Package will not be opened until after the episode on Thursday because of the fact that a juror is returning into the game. So why do that if we don't even see who returns to the game?
Yeah. That's why, like, I wish it was something like, I think BB15 did it right outside of hashtag Helen was pushed. I think that was a good style of doing it, where it's an HOH and you got a chance to get back in the game and it's, you know, it's just standing on the thing, it's endurance, or kind of what they did last year with Johnny Mac. But they've already done that comp this year. But yeah, I don't know. That's why I'm kind of thinking it's going to be like Plinko or something like that that's just completely random that requires nothing, which is why I think, you know, we have to consider Zakiya getting back in, Brent. I do think that there's a chance we see her come in, which would be the funniest thing ever. I hope it's not, but you never know. We got to prepare ourselves
for
that scenario.
It would be our one opportunity to see what Zakiya would play the game like without Polly. So there is that, you know, because yeah. I liked Zakiya when she came into the house. I liked Zakiya for the first 2 weeks, you know, and then it all fell apart. So I'm interested to see, but if she does come back into the house, then I would be interested to see, well, what, how would she respond and without a boy toy on her side? So there you go.
Taryn, who should we be rooting for to get back in the house?
It depends on what you want. If you want Paul to be safe, I think you should root for Victor or Polly to get back into the house. If you're looking for entertainment, maybe Polly, or even Victor, maybe, or even Devon to some extent. If you're looking for, you know, if you're like a Natalie and James fan still, you probably want Bridget back in the game. You don't want Zakiya.
Brent, who are you rooting for to come back into the game?
I'm rooting for Victor. He has a great heart. He was talking to the feeders last night. You can tell he's a fan of the show. He knows a lot more than a lot of people in the house do about Big Brother. And, you know, even, I don't know how many seasons he's actually watched, but of the seasons he has watched, he's entirely perceptive of what's happening around him. That's what I'm saying. And he also told Paul earlier this week, or I think it was yesterday, maybe it was today, to calm down. Like, you know, if he goes home, he goes home. He'll win the buyback competition and he'll come right back in. And I'm like, that's a great attitude to have. He's not moping around. He's not griping about it. He's a really positive person. I think he's thankful for the opportunity that he got. And I think it would just be absolutely hilarious for Victor to come back in again and be like the Aussie from Survivor South Pacific and come back in again and have a chance to get to the end. I mean, when Victor got to the end, I mean, how could you not vote for him then? I don't know. I kind of couldn't.
If Victor – okay, this goes against everything I believe in terms of a Big Brother fan. But, Brent, I'm with you. If Victor comes back and he gets all the way to the end, Victor better win this game. Because if he doesn't, I will be so disappointed. And I'm just biased because I love Victor and I just love this. You know, it'll be so incredible if he does happen to come back again. And just to see the looks on everybody's faces, Natalie and James in particular.
Yeah,
Victor
James after
goes
saying,
out
like, it's
and
not going
to
happen. He's not coming back. Don't worry. You know, I played this game before. I know what's going on. Yeah, right. Whatever. Shut up.
It's funny to me that people keep saying like he might be the Aussie because like not in any like rational sense, but just like as soon as people make that comparison, I'm like, oh, that's gross. Like he doesn't want to be
Aussie.
Oh,
come on. Like I was rooting for
Aussie in South Pacific.
No.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't. I'm with Taryn. I was also very anti-Aussie in South Pacific.
I was very anti-everybody but Aussie. Sorry, Sophie. I love you. Not really. Bye.
But also not to go too far down that rabbit hole, I was pro coach. So that goes to show
okay.
you how
well, there you go. All right.
How much you can trust me as a Survivor fan. Okay. So we got this thing coming out Thursday. It's so hard to predict what's going to happen in the house moving forward until we know specifically who it is coming back. So need to worry about that too much. Brent, I'll let you jump in.
Taryn was talking about the fact that they are not letting the voting for the care package take place until whoever is back in the house is back in the house. And what I was going to say was this is a good time to talk about the care package because the house guests are under the impression that this is going to be the mother of all care packages. And by the way, why shouldn't they be? Like, why shouldn't they be thinking this? They think totally that this is going to be an HOH takeover or that Nicole said it may even be like the sole vote to evict or some astronomical power that you could possibly have in the Big Brother house. And I really hope the camera gets a very close-up look on their faces when they see what this is. I mean, like, it is, who designed this? Like, they did, they got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they just totally shot their wad on week 4, and week 5 is, like, nothing. Like, it's totally nothing. It's just, like, $5,000, and you got to give it to somebody else. Like, it's terrible, and my worst fear is that Paul is in danger, and then Paul gets the care package, and he thinks he's saved, and then he reads it and realizes that he's boned.
Yeah, they, I mean, that's I kind of think that's how it's going to go down, yeah. Brent. Taryn, you agree with that?
Yeah, and you just know that like they're going to show them be like act super excited about the care package and talk about how it's the best one yet. Like we're not going to see the wonderful looks on their faces when they realize how disappointing it is. They're going to edit around it because they want to hype up their twist.
Yeah, but we'll see it on the feeds though. Like well, you know, like I'm sure 2 minutes after the feeds come back on and we'll hear like Paul gets it and Nicole will be saying like thank God that America's Care package was a piece of shit because like, otherwise we'd really be in hot water. I'd be in heat again, Jordan.
Yeah, Paul will be like God.
Right? Like what a
oh, but I'm an atheist.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, like, I don't even want to talk about that. Yeah.
I don't know if we want to go down that rabbit hole.
It's just a dumb thing to say. Like they were going on about how Paul swears to God, but he also says he's an atheist. Like you can say the phrase I swear to God and also be an atheist. Like the two things are not mutually exclusive. It's just something that again, this is what happens when somebody becomes the target.
Yeah.
Every little thing that they said previous to being the target, you use to pick on them and try to make them into a bigger target than they already are.
Yeah, that's part of being in the house. That's what you do. You talk crap about we've talked about this before, the Andy Heron thing, right? Yeah. You talk crap about people on their way out or when they're outside. It's a way of, you know, bringing people together. It's the groupthink mentality. Okay, let's talk about this whole money controversy thing. I've had several people tweet me about this, wanting us to discuss it. So, Taryn, this was talked about a little bit on RHAP this week, but I want to get your guys' take on this in a little bit more detail. So, Taryn, fill us in. What exactly went down? James has said that he wants to split the money with Nicole or other house guests. What exactly is it?
Basically, they were having a conversation and James kind of brought up like, you know, if I won, I'd totally want to like, you know, send some money to, you know, to my friend's way. I'd be like, I'd go to the bank and just be like, money order, 10K, 10K, 10K. And Nicole was like, oh, yeah, totally. I'd totally want to do that, too. And, you know, people freak out about it because it's Nicole and James mostly, I think. I don't think it's as big of a deal as people are making it out to be. I think that they will be told in the diary room at some point, listen, this is against the rules. You're not allowed to do this. You know, we don't want you talking about this again. This is exactly what happened last season with Vanessa. It's happened before this before that as well. It's another thing that's, you know, a lot is made over not a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
so Brent,
I know Brent probably feels differently.
Yes,
I do
Brent,
feel differently.
I'm excited. Brent, go ahead. I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Look, Big Brother takes place in the United States of America and California, both of which have certain laws when it comes to game and reality competition shows. All right. Like this is conspiring to share the money. You can say what you want about it, but it's conspiring to share the money. And there's only two rules that they have. You know, like Jeff always says on Survivor, you know, you can't hit someone. You can't conspire to share the money. Like when this stuff happens, there are many things that I can look at and it slides by. When this stuff happens, I think that Big Brother should take it upon themselves to be very strict with them and say, call them out publicly. I'm sorry. Everybody in the house needs to know what was said. Even if you take them in the diary room and say, well, you know, you can't do that and you shouldn't, you know, you need to make sure you don't say that again. It's going to be in the back of their minds when they make decisions going forward. So everybody in the house, like Michelle and Paul and Victor and anybody who comes back in, needs to know that this went down, that they said this, that they have been reprimanded for it. And so it's all out in the open going forward. Now, they're trying to say it's not a big deal. Fine. If it's not a big deal, then let's tell everybody about it. And I don't understand why people don't agree with me that Big Brother should insert itself at this point and say, house guests, come to the living room. And then they just talk to them about this is what you can't do. This is what you can do. James, Nicole, you did this. You need to explain to your house guests what you said and how you're not really going to do that. I mean, it's just against the rules. They should handle it very definitively. if you don't handle it definitively, then it becomes a very slippery slope, like Taryn said, where Vanessa did it last year, James is doing it this year, and, you know, pretty soon by BB20, people will say, like, you know, if you and me get to the end, we'll each split the $500,000 and we'll take $250 each. I mean, it's just, it's bullshit.
Taryn, is that what Derek said to Cody in BB16?
I think Derek was smart enough to avoid talk about that, but, I mean, again, like... Like, this happens all the time. Like, it wasn't a conspiracy.
Let's
talk about 17. Just to refresh people's memories, what did Vanessa say in Big Brother 17 in regards to this, Taryn?
Vanessa talked to Austin about saying, like, what was it? Like, if I win, then I would, like, sponsor you in a
right.
Poker tournament, and like try to see if we can, or like if like we would share the money somehow, and I would like, you know, quadruple it in my poker things, and then we would share the winnings and stuff like that, as well as like talking about like, you know, TV shows and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like she was super rich to begin with, so and then also, like, you know, this is something that Will and Boogie did on their season. It's something that happens fairly often. And again, like I was saying, this thing that happened between Corey or between James and Nicole, it wasn't like a conspiracy, like, oh, let's secretly split the money or anything. You know, it was James being an idiot, like not realizing what he was saying, not realizing that what he was saying was so against the rules.
That doesn't sound like James.
And I am sure that it's going to be, you know, there's going to be some sort of reprimand.
I just wish they would do it a little bit more publicly, because what this does, as somebody in our chat room points out correctly, to me, it guarantees that James and Nicole will vote for each other if either one of them gets to the end. And conversely, their showman's partner, like if Corey is on the jury and Nicole votes a certain way for James, Corey is also going to vote a certain way because he wants in on that pie as well. I mean, if you're on the jury, why not vote for James at this point? That way, hopefully you'll get $10,000 out of it. It sucks, and I wish they would get this kind of shit out of the game.
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
Which one of us?
Because
Taryn doesn't know what he's talking about.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm with you guys. Actually, I kind of get where both of you are coming from. I agree with Taryn in that this has been going on for a long time. Nothing is binding. However, Brent is right. I think this is like, just lay down the law, say it once and you don't ever have to say it again. And then, you know, we're not going to have to deal with this crap anymore. But instead, it's just like you were saying, Brent, it's just this loosey goosey thing where we don't really know, you know, we don't really know what's going on with this. And, it, you know, let's say hypothetically, Nicole or James does win and the other person does vote for each other. People are going to be saying, oh, well, look, there you go. That's why they did it. And you can get rid of that if you just publicly, you know, say in front of all the house guests, you talk to everyone and you say, look, this is what they said. You can't do this. It's against the rules. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm quite surprised that they aren't more serious about this based on my experience in Big Brother, because in Canada, that would never fly.
Yeah,
and
you're from Big Brother
be...
Canada, where like they actually have rules and integrity and things like that. Like they don't give them. They don't. Those kind of things are trivial in Big Brother US. Like whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, yeah. Anyway, let's keep things rolling.
I do want to say, like, I don't think that it's I don't mean to say that this is inconsequential.
We know.
Like, we know what you're saying, yeah. But you're right. It does happen a lot, Taryn. You're right.
Like, what I'm saying is the amount of outrage about it is largely inflated by the fact that it's Nicole and James that are doing it. I think that this is obviously something that's against the rules. It should be dealt with, but I think that people are freaking out about it to such an extent, largely because they don't like James and Nicole.
Have you ever considered being a politician? Like, the amount of equivocating that you do is just, it is beyond belief. Okay, moving on. Yeah.
I try to be as accurate as possible, Brent.
Okay, all right.
As we learned from our debate last week.
All right, you got to pivot to the general here. We're in the home stretch here. You got to pivot, okay? go ahead.
Taryn, can you run for president, please? Because the candidates right now, I don't know. Just saying. I feel like you could swoop in there, get the RHAP bump. That actually wouldn't be bad, would it be, Brent? If we had Taryn be president, you could be VP.
I'd like a bump. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
Whoa, Taryn. Taryn, what did Brent just do there? I don't know. What
nothing.
He just
I have no idea what you're talking about. Let's move on.
I'm pretty sure if I became president, I would just dissolve the government, and then we'd just have anarchy. I think that's
okay.
That's the move, right?
Maybe I don't want you as president. But anyway, I'll call Zingbot instead. Okay, let's get into the stock watch for this week, just to catch up on where things are sitting at going into this Durer buyback. Let's talk about, pretty much these showmances are linked to each other, so we might as well just talk about them as a pair.
Okay.
Taryn, buying or selling Nikkori?
Buying.
Okay, so they're going up in stock because of what went. I think that makes sense, right? Because they were kind of in trouble last week, and now looks like they're in a pretty good
position.
They were on their way out the door, and they flipped it around, and now they're in a great position, and potentially an even better position depending on the buyback.
All right, so then that means we've got to be selling Jadley, right, Brent?
I mean, I would put them in, like, if you're buying or selling, I would hold them right now. They're not in a terrible position because I think their only real danger is if Paul wins head of household. And also whoever comes back in the jury buyback, like if Polly comes back in or Victor comes back in, obviously I think they're not sitting so good then. And who knows what happens if the other three girls come back into the house. So I would hold them at this point. But Paul, I love Paul, but he's hanging by a thread. It's like me and my job here on Rap. Like, my job is hanging by a thread. Paul is also hanging by a thread.
Brent, come on. You just got a new gig talking about RuPaul.
I'm just kidding. There's somebody on the Big Brother Reddit who said that my job is hanging by a thread. And it just tickles me to no end. Like, my job really isn't hanging by a thread. Like, I love my job and I have a good time at it. And I think I am well liked by people. But I love the haters who say that my job, number one, is hanging by a thread. And number two, that Rob only has me on the show because I'm gay and he needs a little bit of diversity. I'm like, well, yeah. I don't think that he really cares about that.
was that in that thread that was ranking the all of you guys? Did you?
I'm the token gay of the RHAP community. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, just for those of you guys who go on frequent Reddit, yeah, there's a thread ranking Brent, Taryn, and Alex. It's quite entertaining. I highly recommend you check it out. I was glad I wasn't on that list because. You know, my ego couldn't handle being put last on every single thing. Okay. So you talked about how Paul, he's hanging by a thread. Taryn, I kind of think I'd be almost kind of buying Paul, even though he's in this bad spot, because isn't this returning juror going to kind of flip the game on its head one more time and kind of make people forget about Paul a little bit for a while?
Well, this is based on last week's estimation, right? And last week, he was in a better position than he is this week, I think.
Right.
I was expecting a downfall because he took out Paulie instead of Corey and the fact that Victor won HOH in the first place. This came a bit swifter than even I expected, and the fact that I also expected the care package to bail him out, and that didn't happen either. So he's not in a great spot. He still has the buyback to potentially save him, but this is a worse spot than he was in last week.
I'm still team friendship. Oh man, I hope Paul can get out of this somehow. Okay, and then last but not least, I guess it's Big Meech. Taryn, buying or selling?
I think I'm just in the same spot basically. I don't think the co-HOH was great for her game, but ultimately, you know, she's in the same spot. You know, she's in the middle. All she needs to do is just ride it out for a little while. She'll probably get taken to final three, and then she just has to hope that somebody's, you know, thinking, oh yeah, Misha's an easy person to beat in the end. And then what she really needs to do is focus on winning over the jury members, continuing to make big speeches, make big spectacles, act like she's a big player, and then potentially she might get a jury vote. But she's in basically the same spot.
Brent, what do you think the odds are that the returning juror can last more than 1 week?
Oh, wow. I think just by the nature of Big Brother and the Big Brother gods, I would say hi. Like, I don't think that I don't think they're going to, it's going to be, it's not going to be Operation Revolving Door where they come in and come and go right back out. Like, I think they're going to be in there and they're going to cause some havoc. And I hope they do. I would love nothing more than to see James and Natalie's game come crumbling down and for James to be evicted during the second double eviction, just like he was last time. By the way, Nicole is aware of the fact that, the house, she said, I bet they want to evict me this week. Was it this week or next week? I can't remember. But she knew that they wanted to evict her 7th so that she would finish in the exact same position that she finished during Big Brother 16. And I'm like, we still have one more chance for that to happen once the buyback happens. So there's still a chance that Nicole could finish in 7th place. It's just fingers crossed for that. But at least she's self-aware enough to know that.
Yeah, and James too, because James was 7th as well in his season. So that would be pretty interesting if right. they had the exact same finish. What I would love to see is Davon come back and then Nicole go out, or Nicole or James go out. So then Davon finishes in a place that's above them. That would be the greatest thing ever if Davon goes from like, I don't know, whatever it is, 10th all the way up to like 5th. Like that would be a pretty fun thing to
Davon
see.
Davon is currently like the worst placed returning player of all time. She has the potential to erase that, basically.
Yeah.
She has the potential to win the game.
Think about that, Davon. If Davon is the winner, and I would love to see this, but I don't think it's going to happen. But if Davon, and I said this on a Survivor Co Wrong preview podcast, so I will say it again, and I'm sure Alex will do it with me in solidarity. Right. If Davon wins Big Brother 18, I will do our finale or whatever end of the season podcast naked. Okay,
so I'll all do right.
The whole thing. I will do the whole thing naked if Davon wins. Right. And just for the hell of it, I'll do it if Zakiya wins too, because I know that's not happening either. But you never know. It's Big Brother.
Can you give the chat room control of your camera so that we can control where it zooms at or something? Okay. No,
we'll see. We'll see. Okay. Maybe that's we'll if we get enough iTunes reviews, Brent, maybe then we'll do that. How does that sound?
I think Zach Vossler would give you a good iTunes review. I'm just saying.
I hung out with Zach Vossler a few weeks ago. It was very
fun. Cool. Yeah.
Zach and Casey, they were in Vancouver.
And you survived. All right. Cool.
I did.
Oh,
okay,
good.
Okay. Let's get into your questions. If you haven't got them in already, you can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag Rehappy Hour. We're doing this on YouTube Live, not YouTube has changed their style for doing these live shows. So I actually don't think you can leave a comment on the YouTube video. There's actually like a live chat on YouTube and one happening on robinswebsite.com happening right now. So I'm trying to, you know, monitor what's going on there, but questions I'm not going to be able to see in there. So just tweet me your questions. That's probably the easiest thing to do. Okay. So first question, this one comes from GH at Russ Parjo on Twitter. And GH says, if Natalie ends up winning this season, can anyone on the panel make the argument that she is the best female winner? Brent.
No. No.
Like, I didn't even hear the name, but I knew it was impossible.
This is terrible. No. I mean, like, there are at least, I mean, first of all, Maggie from Big Brother 6. Far and away, a far more capable player than Natalie ever was, and didn't get distracted by petty things like people calling her some name or whatever that, you know, ultimately leads her to make nominations that she otherwise wouldn't have made in the first place. Again, I think there's a valid argument for Natalie targeting Paul and Victor. I do not think, on the other hand, it has anything to do, or it should have anything to do, with comments they made about her chest. That's just my opinion. Take it or leave it. I think there are plenty of women who are far more capable than Natalie. Rachel Riley, like, love her or hate her, she's better television than Natalie. She's more competitive than Natalie, and I think she understands the game a little bit better than Natalie.
Taryn, where does Natalie rank as a winner if she manages to pull this thing out?
Like second to I think she's under Lisa as far as women winners, and that would put her around 12th, 13th, probably.
Yeah.
If she could do the thing where she does the Drew Daniel and she gets to the end with like Michelle and James and she evicts James, that would be great. Like, we would all bow down and be like, yes, queen, slay, we love you. But I don't know if she would be willing to do that. And she should be willing to do that. Like, I think she would lose against James and possibly win against Michelle.
Brent, would you take back all the bad things you said about Natalie if she defeats James at the end?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. By the
so way, you're back
people,
on Team Natalie.
Yeah, people
that.
Are bagging on me on Twitter like, you know, you loved Natalie last week and now you hate her this week. I'm like, look, I am a very biased reporter. Okay, I am not somebody like on CNN who's supposed to remain impartial like Switzerland for the rest of the season. I have my biases. I have my favorites. And obviously, I like Paul. And so when she decided to go after Paul after being Team Paul all of last week, it was like, what the hell happened? And then when I saw some of the reasons for it, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. And then I was over her. So yeah, she's got to do something to win me back.
And my favorite is going to be... Sorry, go ahead, Taryn.
This is why Brent hates it when I try to stay somewhat neutral and unbiased, because it is everything that he is opposed to. And that's why we're both here. We represent opposite views. And if you want unbiased reporting, you know, try me. If you want the bias and the rants, try Brent. You know, that's what we're here for.
Thank you. Thank you.
My favorite thing is going to be next week when Paulie comes back into the house and Brent is Team Paulie again. That's
right?
Going to be the funniest thing. That I can't get on board
like
with.
If it's
ever.
Paulie, like HOH, and he nominates Natalie and James.
No,
go, Paulie. Love you, boy. Yes.
Brent, you have to come back next week with a Team Paulie shirt if
all
he
right,
does that.
All right, I'll try. I'll see if I can get one.
Or just wear like a butterfly costume or something. Right. That would be so good. I will never be Team Paulie, no
all
matter
right,
what.
All right.
Even if he offered to split the money with me. Okay. This next question comes from Brendan Waldock, at Brendan Waldock with 2Ks on Twitter. And fun fact, I actually played minor hockey with Brendan, and I had no idea that he listened to the Happy Hour until like a few weeks ago. So shout out to Brendan, long time no see. He says, do you think the next care package should be 100,000 Instagram and Twitter followers instead of the 5K to bribe these thirsty house guests? I think that's a pretty good idea. What do you think, Brent? What's more valuable, $5,000 or the Instagram and Twitter followers?
Well, the Instagram and Twitter followers, number one, because they would get to keep it. I mean, the thing with the $5,000 that's even more of a thumb in the eye is not only is it not a special power, it's not an HOH takeover, it's not the sole vote to evict, it's literally $5,000 and that's it. But you have to give it away. So, like, Paul's going to get the care package and it's going to be like, here's $5,000, but you have to give it away. So it's like nothing. He gets nothing. I can literally hear the house guests laughing at him now.
Well, Taryn, what do you think, Taryn? You think that's a better bribe, offering the Instagram, Twitter followers? I personally, as somebody who's in the community, I think that would get more people on board is the followers, because I know there was a certain someone on my season who told me that she was gonna get 40,000 followers on Instagram and Twitter after the season, and then when she didn't, she it miraculously went from like 5,000 followers to over 20,000 in one night, and I was like, oh wow, so her dream did come true. But I was just like, that's just interesting. So
yeah, and that probably cost her 5K.
Probably. I don't know. But still, I think it's a great idea. That's what Big Brother should do. That's the bribe. Next season.
You're totally right. I think that would make for a much better bribe. I think that people would be much more willing to stick with it, especially because like it would be like, oh, if I go back on this, then maybe I'll lose my followers. You know, my precious followers. So yeah, I mean, I think people would be bending over backwards to do whatever they could for these 100K followers.
Oh yeah, it's a great twist. Please, Allison Grodner, if you're gonna take anything from the Happy Hour ever, or if anyone's gonna, you know, if someone can somehow get this to Allison Grodner and not her recycle bin, make it be this, because I think that would be a very funny thing to see. Okay, next question. This one is from the Bachelorettes at Bachelorettes on Twitter. They say, thoughts on Frank missing out on both buybacks? That seems like an awful spot to get voted out in right now. Yeah, Brent, I mean, this is kind of BS, is it not? That Frank, somebody who is very competition-based, didn't even get a shot at this. And this is something, you know, Taryn, you guys were talking about on RHAP this past week, but I think it would have been great to see Frank compete in this, don't you, Brent?
It's so odd that there was this little window where you didn't get to compete in the first Battle Back competition, and yet... You know, now that nobody got the round trip ticket, which of course they couldn't have foreseen. I mean, they knew who had the round trip ticket from the beginning. And if Paul had been evicted, although I don't think he was ever really in danger, then it would have been good for them to plan ahead for this. On the other hand, he got one chance. I mean, he got to pick a ticket and he didn't get it. I mean, I know it was a luck based thing and it was somebody had already taken the round trip ticket, but. I mean, it's a bit of a downer. On the other hand, if you were like a Big Brother purist like I am, you think that once you're voted out, you're out. So I don't really care for the fact that Frank didn't get another opportunity like Victor's got. I mean, them's the breaks, man. Them's the breaks.
And let's not forget that the reason that he got voted out so late was because he got saved by the team twist so many times. So, like, you know what I mean?
True.
Like,
right. And we also need to think, hello, he is a returning player. He already got to play Big Brother last time in Big Brother 14.
Where he also got saved from a
beast. Exactly. So shut up, people. Like, you know, whatever.
Do you guys follow Frank on Twitter? Like, has Frank been tweeted about this at all?
I don't think Frank cares. He's been tweeting on Twitter
in support of Bridget.
Okay. Oh, go, well, Bridget. I'm with Frank. Go, Bridget. That's the other person who I'd love to see back as well. I love Bridget. That would be fun to see her. Honestly, I think I'm going to be excited no matter who comes back, as long as it's not. Actually, never mind. yeah, there's a few people I don't really care for seeing, but that's okay. Whatever. We'll see. It'll be fun either way. All right, next question is from Keith Dixon at Keith L. Dixon. Keith says, does Natalie still have a good chance to win America's Favorite House Guest, or has that ship sailed? Yeah, I mean, Taryn, you talked about on RHAP that the numbers for her have gone down on Jokers. Where is she at now? Like 5 or something like that?
Yeah, I think she was at 5 last night. Right now, she is down at 6. So she is continuing to fall, but that's Jokers, and I think the casual audience isn't as down on people like Nicole as the live feeders are. So I don't think they're gonna take this as poorly, and clearly they're not as big fans of Paul as many of the live feeders are. So I don't think this is gonna be a huge hit to Natalie. To be honest, I think that she's still probably one of the top contenders.
And she comes across very well on television. She's always smiling in the diary room. I think people don't really understand that that's a big part of being a good television personality. You know, say what you want about Dr. Will, but he always had that little smirk, that little smile. He was always, like, very happy to be there. Like, you know, hello, Julie, how you doing? You know, well, I'm going to take this opportunity to evict blank this week. You know, I mean, he was just an effervescent personality. Twice this week I've used the word effervescent. I think I used it about myself earlier this week on Twitter. Anyway, that's not the point.
You used it, Brent, in a DM with us.
Yeah, I've been experimenting with new words, you know, whatever. Okay, so the point being, like, you know, I think it goes a long way as far as her personality in the house. The way it comes across on television is good. If she's not in the final two, I guarantee you she's going to win America's Favorite Player. She really will.
Okay, I'm down with that. I think it'll be fun. I mean, I enjoy Natalie. She's a good time. And you bringing up Dr. Will, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, it's just brought so much joy to my heart. So I think after this podcast, I'm just going to go watch Big Brother All-Stars again.
I miss Dr. Will so much.
I miss him. He's the best. Okay.
Somebody just posted a clip on Twitter showing like one of the times that, you know, Will was like, you know, offering to split money and stuff like that. And I watched and I was just like, oh man, I miss this so much. Why can't there be somebody like this in the house every season? I just don't understand.
I just don't either. That's why I wish Big Brother would kind of at this point go more the MTV challenge mold and just bring back people every single season that are awesome. And then we just have Dr. Will every year. I mean, that would be great. I would love that.
All right.
Okay. This one is from Amber Horner. Amber Horner on Twitter. She says, hoping you guys can come up with the move for the sitting ducks. What would Dan do? With the praying emoji. So that's interesting. Is there anything at all, Brent, that Elfit Vic can do to convince James to vote out Corey, or is he Is there nothing he can do? Should he just sit back and do nothing?
I think that Victor, first of all, the thing about Victor is that Natalie still respects him and she trusts him. Like, even though she wants him voted out, she feels badly about it. I think the best thing to do would play to her emotions and try to get Corey and Nicole to admit or even make up a lie that Corey and Nicole said that, you know, we should target James and Natalie once the next week rolls around, you know, assuming, you know, they don't know about the buyback. So, you know, obviously none of this stuff would matter anyway, but they are going to target Natalie and James next week. And if they could get Natalie and James to think that Corey and Nicole are not going to stay true to the deal that they made, there's possibly a chance that Victor could stay in the house this week. Otherwise, the only option that you have is to make, you know, like Natalie didn't love the fact that Corey said that Natalie is going to blow her way to the top with James. Like, that's what Corey said earlier this week when he was talking, or not this week, but before with Polly. Like, they were bagging on Natalie, making a lot of really tasteless jokes, and they said that Natalie's going to blow her way to the top with James. Natalie did not respond well to that. For about like a hot second there, she wanted Corey out of the house because of that. Now I think she's kind of come back to wanting Victor out, but, you know, who knows where she might end up on Thursday. I still think there's a chance that Victor could stay. I really do.
Taryn, do you think there's a chance?
I mean, there's always a chance. I think it's a very slim one at this point.
Put into numbers for me. What's the percentage?
I'd say
the same percentage that he said that Zakiya would be saved the week that she was evicted.
No, that was much bigger. Okay. I'm thinking probably less than 5% at this point. Something would have to like really blow up and like,
you know,
really
what?
Shake the dynamic of the house.
I really wish that Julie Chen last week, once the round trip tickets were over, I wish she had said, you know, remember, house guests, just because you're evicted doesn't mean you're out of the game, or something to let them know that there's going to be another buyback. Because I really think if they knew that, I really do think that they would take a shot at Corey and Nicole. All right, Corey specifically, because they don't, you know, one thing that James and Natalie do not want is Polly back in the house with Corey and Nicole, because they know that they would leave them behind and Polly would be gunning after James and Natalie. So, you know, if they knew that, I think they would definitely keep Victor.
That definitely could have changed things. And, you know, the question was like what would Dan do in this scenario? I think that the Dan move, especially here, is distance yourself as much as you can from Paul. You know, obviously, there's a lot of stuff that Dan does to set this up that Victor and Paul haven't done. You know, they've won too many competitions. They've been way, way, way too obvious about their connection. But it's really the thing that is dragging Victor down right now is his deep connection with Paul. He's being taken out because he's close to Paul, and if he wasn't close to Paul, they wouldn't be taking him out. The competitions alone, I don't think, is enough. If they were 100% convinced that Victor is not on board with Paul, and that even like maybe he wants Paul out, I think they would keep Victor over Corey. Can they convince them of that now? Probably not. But that's the move, I think, that you have to go for, I guess. But I think at this point, like I said, it's too late.
Hopefully they try something. I hope Victor doesn't just sit back and go out, because that would be really disappointing. But I don't know. I've just got a weird feeling, and I think a lot of people are feeling this way. I think he's going to go out and he's going to come right back in. So it'll be all good. We'll be fine. Okay. Next question. This one comes from Daniel Toscani. Daniel says, did you see what Nicole just said? She thinks Corey has the best social game and he'd win 9-0. What's wrong with her?
I read that to Brent at the start of the show before we went live.
So what? That's so funny. So what's, I mean, obviously Nicole views Corey that way, but could Corey win 9-0? Do people look at Corey as somebody who is a big threat to win the game, Brent?
No, I don't think anybody does. I know Natalie in particular looks at him like a total douche, like she was saying that 2 days ago, and all of a sudden she's forgotten about that. No, first of all, there's no way he's winning 9-0 anything, okay? If he wins, it would be like 5-4, 6-3. I mean, you know, look, you got to think that if Corey is in the final two, obviously Nicole is probably not in the final two. Nicole, Polly, Zakiya are all probably going to vote for Corey Don't ask me why, but they're going to vote for him. And then he only needs two more votes. It's the same thing with any one of those kind of people gets to the end. All of the people from their little clique are going to vote for them. So you've got to be really wary of those type of people. I don't know why James and Natalie aren't like thinking about that. If they get to the end with Nicole or Corey, they're never getting votes from that little threesome clique. That's three votes that are gone from them.
Yeah. Honestly, at this point, I really think that there's more respect in the house and potentially in the jury house for Nicole's game than Corey's game. Now, if they heard the kinds of stuff that she's telling him, like, oh, my God, you're just amazing and I'm nothing, then I think that they would flip over immediately. But the perception is that she's kind of the more strategic one. And if they were in the end together and she didn't spout off about how great she is, I think she might win the jury vote over him.
Now, speaking of Corey and Nicole, now I didn't look too deeply into this, but I did see some stuff come across my Twitter timeline that looked awfully familiar to what was going down under the covers with Paulie and Zakiya. So, Brent, what are your thoughts on that? What has been the reaction to Nicole and Corey? I don't know how I want to phrase this. I guess it appears they were having sex in the Big Brother house. Even Glenn was chiming in on it, saying, "Oh my God, that was my bed."
Well, I can't speak to whether or not it was Glenn's bed because I barely remember Glenn. But I think that the thing that was really funny to me was when Nicole crawled into bed. She tried to make some like small talk conversation to make it appear like they weren't doing what they were doing. And Nicole, like, obviously didn't get the memo. And he said, like, what are you talking about? Like, what? Like, it was like completely apparent, like what she was trying to pull off and what he thought she, like, he just didn't understand. He's a dumb boy. What do you want from me? As far as them doing something in the Big Brother house, I mean, you know what? They're two young, good looking people. They've got nothing better to do. They're doing it under the covers. At least they're not showing everybody. That's all I got for you at this point.
Yeah, at least they're not like April and Ollie. That's all I have to
say. Yeah.
Brent, sorry, Taryn, anything you want to add on that?
No.
No. No. Well, how surprising. Taryn doesn't want to talk about that. Okay. All right. Cool. That's fine. Okay. All right. Let's look here. Okay. We got some stuff about the Pax Bros. Don't really know if we want to talk about
that. Yay, Pax Bros. Boy, yeah, they're looking awfully good right now. That's why I'm like, can we have the Pax Bros on, Big Brother? Because I'm really tired of these people.
Yeah, international twist. Have the Pax Bros in here. That would be fun. Okay. This one comes
I love the comment. Like, the chat room said, great input, Taryn.
I know when I'm needed.
Oh God, that was so funny. Okay, go ahead.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, leave that stuff to me and Brent. We're all over that. Okay. Okay. This question comes from at Brendan VBB12. Brendan Viegas. That's how he said it on the show. I kept saying it wrong. So Brendan, apologies.
Yeah, Viegas.
Brendan Viegas. Brendan says, "Yo, at Jordan Parhar. Are these former house guests fulfilling the prophecy of everyone complaining about lackluster returnees in the preseason?" Yeah, interesting, right? I mean, we were all in this in the preseason. We did a show talking about the if BB18 was an all returnee season. We talked about the returnees and people were saying, "Well, these returnees suck. Like, can't get anyone else." But it just this summer, it seemed like there wasn't really a lot of people available. So, what do you think about that, Brent?
I mean, they're definitely fulfilling the prophecy of being boring as hell and being bad game players. Like, look, this is what is startling to me. We found out earlier this weekend that, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but Nicole and James, for being returning players, they gave them $50,000 to come back as a stipend. Like, you know, if you get to the jury, you get $50,000. And then it's $2,000 per week, which is far more than they give regular house guests. Regular house guests,
it's twice as much.
Yeah,
twice
like
as
per
much.
Week, like that's twice as much, and they don't get the $50,000 right off the top. Why in the hell would you give these people $50,000? Like, you could have had me for free. Like, I don't know. There's got to be people in the world that were far more entertaining than James and Nicole. Nicole even said it best last night when she was talking on the feed. She said, "Well, I really don't know why they brought me back because I didn't do shit during Big Brother 16. I'm like, I'm right there with you, bitch. Like, you didn't do shit. I don't know why they brought you back either. I find it infuriating that they felt the need to pay James and Nicole $50,000 to come back when they would literally, like, they're such fame whores that they would do it for free.
Yeah, like, based on my experience, at least, from people I know, I feel like most former house guests, unless you're like a, you know, A-list house guest, I think most house guests would do it for free, Brent.
Oh, my God. Michelle Costa, bring her back. Like, yeah. Oh, God.
Or, you know, someone like, you know, like someone like Spencer Clausen or McRae or like, yes, someone like they'd go back. They'd go back easily for
somebody
for
who
free
engages with the fan community. Nicole, yes, doesn't even do podcasts. She won't even come on a rap. She doesn't do interviews with other people. She just doesn't.
Well, she's certainly not coming on now, Brent.
Well, yeah, that's good. Good riddance to her. She didn't. You know what? But I don't even care. She never even came on before. She's not been on a podcast with Rob since she did her exit interview on Big Brother 16.
Taryn, what's your thoughts on this? How much do you think it would cost to get Dr. Will if these guys are getting 50K?
Dr. Will has to make more than the winner just for being on the season if he's going to be on.
Yeah, can we have Matt Hoffman back? I think he would throw a shade,
yes,
when he's in the house.
That would be great. Matt Hoffman would be great. Yeah. anything to add there, Taryn, or are you good?
No, this is what I expect from Big Brother. You know, I've long ago given up on the idea that they're going to do anything close to what I want or even what the general public wants.
Yeah,
granted, I do think the general public did want James and Nicole. And I think to some extent the general public is liking James and Nicole. So that's probably why they're there. But it's like, you know.
But like answer me this though. They like the idea of Nicole from Big Brother 16 when she was the underdog. What has she done this season?
She knocks things over. She says poop in a really cute way.
She is a big vat of nothing.
But, Brent, I kind of think Nicole's going to win. I really do.
Well, then congrats.
She's in a good spot. I mean, it looks like she was going to go home. She's gotten this spot now with Corey and James and Natalie. And unless Bridget comes back, I mean, I think she's going to do just fine. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. But, you know, if she wins, I mean,
right, I know.
Can
I'm trying
you blame
to confine
her?
My discussion to why America likes her. At this point, I think it's just okay. About inertia. Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, that girl from Big Brother 16, she's kind of cute. I also think that it has something to do with the fact that she's sort of this white, pretty, blonde girl who's sort of harmless. Like, I really do think that there's an aspect to, like, Americans that like somebody who's part of the quote-unquote majority, and, you know, they don't like people who look like, quote, the others. This is probably a little too political, but I really do think that's an aspect of why people like Paul and Victor are not getting the care packages.
The beard, like, Rob called it.
And people like Nicole are. I mean, It's just a little bit of a discussion of, you know, the haves and the have-nots, the majority versus the others. And I think Nicole is part of the majority.
But Brent, why didn't America fall in love with Kent from BB2 then?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That was a different America back then.
The other people. I miss Kent. Okay, so
honestly, I think as much as we've made a thing about Nicole's voice, I really think that that's like her main selling point for the show and the audience. I think that she has a somewhat unique sounding voice, and it comes off in a cute way. Like when she talks about poop on the show, it's like, oh, that's adorable. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like,
all right.
And when she knocks things over.
So you think she's there for the tweens? Like, you think she's there for a specific demographic?
Yeah, and she knocks stuff over. Oh, I'm such a klutz. Oh, my God. And, oh, she knocked another thing over. what a funny guy.
can someone make a gif of what Taryn just did like that?
Oh, no.
That would be great. No, I'm with you, Taryn. I think it's a big thing for a lot of people. And I think the thing with Nicole is, yeah, it goes back to what you said, Brent. Nicole is relatable. You see Nicole and you're like, oh, that's like the girl next door. She's the cute little nerdy girl. Like, yeah, I could see myself hanging out with Nicole. Whereas if you see, you know, even someone like, I mean, maybe not so much her, but I'm trying to think of an example.
Paul.
But, yeah, Paul. Paul's a good one. Or, you know, Corey or Paulie. Like, you wouldn't really, you know, you don't really, do many people know people like that in their life? So I think maybe that's kind of where it's coming from.
Yeah, she's kind of like the
Nicole.
Every person.
Yeah, yeah, she is. And good for her. I mean, I don't know. I got nothing against Nicole. I mean, even though, you know, sometimes some of the stuff that's going on is annoying, but, you know, she's playing the game. Okay, this one's from Jill Robinson at Days Brady Pats. Jill says, any thoughts about Natalie telling people that mom and dad, aka production, were encouraging her to work with Nicole and Corey? Okay, so this was another thing that came up that was controversial over the weekend. Taryn, what exactly went down here? Was this? I didn't really understand it based on what I saw.
Well, it's again, it's the thing where, you know, Natalie was talking to Nicole and she said that, you know, they often make up euphemisms for the DR. In this case, it was mom and dad. And she said that they told me to work with you guys. And then she immediately backed out. Well, they didn't say that explicitly, but I got that implication, basically, which is something that, again, this happens even more often than the money sharing thing. People get ideas from the DR all the time. They ask a lot of leading questions and people often read into it. It happened even earlier this season with Devon, who said that the DR told her that Tiffany couldn't be trusted and then was forced to say that's not true.
Well, so did the DR force Natalie to say, hey, that's not true, or did they just let it slide?
I think with this one, they let it slide because it wasn't as explicit, and she said specifically they didn't tell me this, whereas Devon said they told me that Tiffany it couldn't be trusted. So, like, I think as far as production's concerned, as long as you leave it somewhat ambiguous, they're not going to call you out as much. If you make maybe it's the same thing with the money thing, where, like, if James and Nicole had made an explicit deal saying, if you vote for me, I will give you $10,000, then maybe they would have been more strict, more immediate with the punishment.
You mean like Adam Pock and Portia did in Big Brother 13? Sorry. I know. I'm sorry. I remember that was when I started watching Feeds, and Adam Pock and Portia made a deal. She's like, well, you know, you're going to go to the jury. I'm going to have to vote you out. And he's like, yeah, but I'm going to vote for you. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to buy you something after. And that's where my first little experience with this sort of, you know, you know what I'm trying to say. When that started, I can't even remember the phrase. And I'm like, I'm too tired to look it up right now.
Hashtag, you know what I meant to say.
Yes, thank you. That's where all this started for me. It feels very unseemly and I just don't like it. And so, as far as Natalie goes, talking about mom and dad, people, of course, were all over Twitter about it. Like Taryn rightly says, I do wish they would have come in and said, you know, Natalie, you're not allowed to use production as a strategy or whatever they say. I can't remember if they say it.
Natalie, you're not allowed to use production as a strategy. I think that's what they say. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. We don't hear that enough. Season. I wish we would hear it a little bit more often because obviously it's part of her thinking.
Yeah, they should be more on top of this sort of thing. But again, like, people get so up in arms about it. Like, they should be, you know, penalty nominated. They should be, like, kicked out of the house for this stuff. Like, or like with this case, like, oh, production is running the house. They're influencing the game. It's been said many times in the past. Production asks leading questions. I'm sure Jordan can attest to this, having been on Big Brother. They ask leading questions in the diary room because they want you to talk about all kinds of things. And sometimes you can read into it. Like, you can think, oh, because they're asking this question, they must mean this. And people read into it all the time, and sometimes they make decisions based off of it. But there's never been, like, any sort of confirmed thing where it's like, this, the diary room told them this, which is information they didn't know, and they explicitly told them that they should do this, like, anything like that. Like, that's, I mean, aside from Evil Dick, nothing like that has ever been even, you know, like, anywhere near confirmed.
By the way, I looked it up. It's quid quo pro, and I don't know why. Obviously, I could never. I kept trying to find it in the dictionary, but I kept starting with prid. I don't know why I was doing that. Like, I'm obviously, I need some sleep.
Very effervescent of you, Brent.
Thank you. Yes.
I co-sign what you said, Taryn. I mean, sometimes people buy into it and they make moves off of it, or sometimes people get hints and, you know, it's hard. They ask you questions, and you make decisions based off of that. Sometimes people don't, and that's because they don't have a lot of experience, and then they go home cut because of it. Myself included. But it's not like they're telling you to do anything. It's just trying to, you know, move forward with the narrative and get into, you know, what you're thinking in the moment. That's just based on my experience with it. I think the more experienced players like Devon, I think they look into it a lot more because they have experience with playing a season before and having to deal with the Irene before. So I think that's why Dave Vaughn was so adamant earlier saying, yeah, they told me Tiffany is somebody I can't trust. They didn't explicitly tell her that. Just based on what she got out of it, that's how she interpreted it. Whereas I think with Natalie, somebody who hasn't played the game before, doesn't have as much experience in the DR, I don't think you can necessarily fault her for going in either direction. They asked her a question, happens with everybody, and you were literally asked every single question. They probably said, hey, Natalie, what do you think about if you went after Corey and Nicole? Oh, what do you think if you go after Paul? Like, that's how it works. So I wouldn't get too up in arms about it.
I think like at worst, it's kind of like on Survivor when people go looking for the idol and they can sometimes try to use production if they can to see like, oh, am I getting close to the idol? Because that means that there's more cameras that are going to be following me.
Yes.
They people can try to read production in that way, but it's never production being like, hey, look, the idol's right there. You know what I mean?
Unless it's Russell Hantz.
Exactly.
Right.
I was going to say.
At least that's what, according to some people. Okay. All right. Let's see. I think we want to take one more here, and I don't even think it was a question. It was more so just a comment. And this one was from Tanya Tone BB fan at Tone T1 on Twitter. Tanya says, correction, James and Nicole got in trouble by Big Brother at 3:54 a.m. BB time for bribing people for their winnings. So there you go. There's a follow-up on that.
At 3:54 Big Brother time? Is that what she said?
Yes. So 4 a.m. basically in front of no one is when they got told, maybe you don't really want to do that. So there you go. Okay. So I think that's going to do for this edition of the Rehappy Hour. I still feel so lost without Alex being here.
I know
here,
we need Alex back. Like, I thought it would be fun with just me and Taryn. It was definitely a good show, but like we need a little bit of a stability between the yin and the yang that is Taryn and myself.
Yeah, we need the too hot, too cold. We need just right. We need Alex here.
Yeah.
Brent, anything you want to touch upon before we get out of here?
I don't know. I really think this season is hanging by a thread. I really do, just like my job here at Rap, because the Thursday night, if Victor or Polly doesn't come back into the house, I really do think that we're looking at a, you know, showmance final four, and I don't like anybody in that four at this point, with the exception of maybe Natalie if she can pull out a win. I'm not really hoping for a Polly buyback. On the other hand, if Polly does come back into the house, that does push James and Natalie more into the Paul Michelle camp to try to keep the numbers, so that could help out Michelle and Paul, both of whom I'm rooting for at this point. But obviously I would love to see Victor back more than anybody else.
Taryn.
I think I'd like to see Victor back, to be honest. For the novelty of it.
Yeah, for the laughs of it all.
whenever there's this many twists, I love for it to just go so off the rails, because it's just like, this is what I told you would happen, Big Brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is the absurdity of what you've done to your game. This guy has been evicted twice and he's still in the house.
Oh, wait. Brett has a great thought in the chat room. He said, Victor comes back. Next week is a double eviction. James and Nicole go home in the same night. That's good television, JP. I can sign up for that.
Brent, if that happens, does this season skyrocket to a top five season?
Oh, my gosh. Like, it goes up my rankings totally. I can't tell you. I sing all the praises of Big Brother 18.
That would be pretty amazing, though. I would be very, very excited if that were to happen.
And like Nicole goes out first, and then James is up on the block during the double eviction, just like he was last time. And he rolls like a zero during the veto, like he's not even trying. And Rob comes on and calls him a loser. Like that would be so good. I would love it.
Amazing, amazing. I can't wait for next Thursday.
These
already
are losers.
Before we get out of here, we want to read the iTunes review of the week. This one comes from K_Musa2, and he says, the Walga monster forced me. If you want to listen to a reality TV podcast that has everyone's favorite gay, the podcasting bay, the best judge of all time, and Jordan, listen to this. Sometimes their opinions are stupid, but they're kind of funny. So no wonder these four are the stars of the Rehapups Network. So there
Yay.
You go. That was
Taryn.
kind of insulting us, but kind of very complimentary.
I'm getting, no, we're kind, like, I'm I'm getting kind of funny written on my tombstone.
No, it's like you're the bay. So it's like the gay in the bay. Like, we should start a show. I'm telling
you.
That,
yeah,
yeah.
The
great.
Gay in the bay. That's coming new to the wrap-ups.
People have been wanting us to have our own show for a while. Just the
I know.
Two of us.
I know, but I don't know if it would
work.
Yeah,
I think we did just find the title.
I know. We did. We found the title. I definitely know. But someone said in the chat earlier that they think that with Alex gone, we actually bickered less.
Yeah, it's like, true. You did. You
I'm
guys
like, oh,
barely
I don't like
fought.
That. No. We need Alex back. Like, it would have to be like the gay, the bay, and the like. We need a name for Alex that rhymes with gay and bay.
Listen,
somebody
the reason we bickered less is because I was going easy on you. I know that you must still be really raw from last week after the pounding that I gave you. So
you,
I needed
oh
to make
goodness.
Sure. I needed to make sure that you were okay this week.
The pounding that you gave me, Taryn. Yeah. Don't tell everybody about that. My goodness.
Yes, bravo, Brent.
Oh my
bravo.
Goodness.
Amazing. So
terrible.
Funny. And Taryn is already, he doesn't know what to say after yeah. using it. It's a lot of
I
sexual...
did that on purpose, John.
a lot of sexual innuendos on this podcast by mistake, which is very funny.
It wasn't funny.
Okay, a couple other things. First, thank you to everybody who left a review this week. So if you want to leave a review and a rating for the podcast, you can go to robinswebsite.com/happyhour. While you're there, so you leave a review, and then you can get an entry to win a Skype call with me at the end of the season. Three people will be doing so. For those of you who all said that Brent sent me last week, you get two entries. So we had Brent, you almost broke iTunes. Like, I think we had, there was like, I thought like there was a glitch. Because there was like 12 in a row on the Canadian
iTunes. You, like, if you
that
just
all
do...
said Brent sent me, Brent sent me, Brent
yes,
sent me, Brent sent me.
Because if you like, if you just tell people, like, if you just like do your rote thing and read off the thing you normally read every week, then people are not going to listen to you. But when I come on and say, "Bitch, you need to get on iTunes and leave us a review so we can get to the top of the rankings," all of the people who are watching right now are going to go to iTunes and leave us a review with 5 stars because they want to help us. Like, you have to get, you just have to grab their attention.
Thank you, Brent. Yes. I appreciate that. I mean, my style works, but that works. That
okay,
seemed
okay.
to work better. So
yeah, I like the one I swear at the viewers.
yes. Okay. So if you want to do that, go over to robinswebsite.com/happyhour. Couple other links for you guys. One, I mentioned the YouTube one earlier, so you can go subscribe to YouTube if you haven't already. Last week we had the most viewers ever on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups channel. We had over 20,000 people watch the podcast last week, which like blew every other podcast we've ever done out of the water. So thank you to everybody so much for listening and watching us on YouTube. That really helps us out a lot. And if you want to, you know, keep sharing the podcast this week on whatever Big Brother forums or social media or whatever to help spread the word, that would be awesome. I think it might have just been because everybody was getting together for the Pauly eviction party, but still, still, it was very fun. So we appreciate that a lot. And another way to get in questions for the show, there's a new way as well. We've got an email now officially for the podcast. happyhour@robinswebsite.com. So if you have a question that's a long form question and you want to get that in next week, you can send that to happyhour@robhasawebsite.com. Programming note for next week, I actually will not be here on the podcast unless we can somehow do it at an incredibly early time, because I am actually picking up Ashley Wood from Big Brother Canada 3, my good pal, from the airport. So we're doing that, and a bunch of other stuff's going on that day. So my Monday is pretty nuts. So
all right.
I don't think I will be here. Somebody will be filling in for me, though. There will be a show. Or maybe we'll just go Alex, Taryn, and Brent, and we'll see what happens. The show will still go on, so come back next week. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar. I will fill you in on what's going on with the live show, but there will be, if you're listening to the audio archives, nothing is going to change for you because the show will pop up in your iTunes feed on Tuesday morning, as it usually does. Okay, we need a hashtag for the show tonight, guys.
I think it was hashtag prid quo quo.
Hashtag prid quo quo.
Prid quo quo. Yeah, it was prid quo quo. Yeah.
Hashtag prid quo quo. Okay, yeah. Or you can do hashtag the gay and the bay. That's one
gay
I like.
The bay. Yeah.
Or hashtag we miss Alex. I think that's another good one. Just
yeah, we
you,
miss if, Alex.
Hashtag the pounding.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm glad you did. Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you wanted to do right? that, yeah. you can.
They're going to do it anyway. Like, you know, these people, they don't listen to us. They do their own hashtags.
Okay. So love getting your feedback. So send us your feedback. Leave a comment on robinswebsite.com, or you can tweet us. Again, I'm at Jordan Parhar. Oh. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Taryn, you have some breaking news.
Well, for those of you watching live, and for those of you who will be listening later, check out American Ninja Warrior this week.
Yes.
If you're watching live, it's in 10 minutes. I will be on the episode. This is the one that I attended. So if you want to see me on TV, hopefully for the second time, you know, check it out. And this is a great place to start for watching American Ninja Warrior in the first place if you haven't watched it, because the Vegas finals are about to start and you can basically just pick up from there. It's basically its own sort of thing, and it's the best part of the show anyway. So give it a shot because it's a lot of fun. So bitch, watch it.
You should watch it. I will tell them they should watch Taryn's podcast. I listen to Taryn's podcast every week. Him and Lita do a great job. If you've never watched American Ninja Warrior, it's a very fun show. But like you said, the best part of the show is coming up. Like this week and next week is when Vegas starts. So it's going to be a great time. And there are a lot of fun people who are competing, a lot of women who are doing really well this year. And I should also plug my new podcast.
Yes.
We put out a preview podcast for the RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 2. That's me and Mike Bloom and Ali Lasher did a preview podcast where we previewed all 10 queens and the new twist where the queens are going to be voting each other out on this new All-Stars edition. It starts this coming Thursday. Mike and Ali and I are going to be back with a recap sometime this weekend, so make sure you subscribe in the iTunes feed for that one, okay?
robiswebsite.com/rehapups if you want to get both those shows and this show. That's the best way to do it. And the last plug that I will say is tonight, if you're watching us live, Rob Cesternino and Stephen Fishback are going to be going live, I believe, at 8:30 Eastern Time, 5:30 Pacific, to talk about Australian Survivor. That's right, the first Survivor know-it-alls of the Australian Survivor season. So go check that out if you are a Survivor fan. Okay, I think that's going to do it, guys. I don't think I'll be here next week, so I'm really sad that I won't be here, but I'll see you guys in a couple weeks. For Brent Wolgamott and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag, what was it?
The pounding.
Prid quo quo, hashtag the pounding, and hashtag we miss Alex. All the best. Take care.
Reality TV, we're happy hour. Reality TV, we're happy hour.
The theme song of the Reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.